ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविप्रम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना अद्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वाम् अनुसन्तदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैः सवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ज्ञानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुराग्रगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। उत्तरेदात्मनात्मानम् आत्मानमवसादयेत् आत्मैव ज्ञात्मनो बन्धुः आत्मैव रिपुरात्मनः कर्मण्येवाधिकारस्ते मा फलेषु कदाचन मा कर्म फलहेतुर्भुः मा ते सङ्गोऽस्व कर्मणि यत्करोषि यतश्नासि यज्जुहोषि ददासि यत् यत्तपस्यसि कौन्तेय तत्कुरुष्वमदर्पणम्। Today, when I was talking to a set of students, young students, in Cal State, Bakersfield, a very good question came by one of the students. I am a student and a family person at the same time. I was explaining to them, according to Hinduism, the first 25 years of your life, you are a student. Then, 25 to 50, you take up the life of a family person, family man or family woman, householder, grihastha. Then, you take to the next stage known as vanaprastha. Meaning, you leave the family duties to your children and you proceed on to lead a simple life. And then the fourth stage is you are ready for liberation, sannyas. So when I said this, the immediate assumption is one ends and another starts. Right? The life of a student, which is known as Brahmacharya, ends. And then you get into the next stage. So our question was, can I parallelly do this? Being a student and being a family person at the same time. I said, it's not watertight compartments. You can do, but there is a lot of challenge in that because you have family priorities also, as well as you have to spend time in studying, etc. If you look at it carefully, the first verse is about the first stage. At the stage of being a student, you have to understand that you alone are responsible for whatever you are going to be. At that stage, a lot of learning is necessary from the world, and there will be some setbacks in your own life, and you cannot but engage but not feel discouraged by the world. You have to lift yourself again and again, again and again. The second stage is where you are completely involved in karma, taking care of your family members, parents, relatives, dogs and cats, all that. Everybody is depending on you, or you are interdependent, so to say. You have to work to earn, to sustain. So all that happens. So at that stage, the second verse, Karmani evadhikarahate ma phaleshu kadachana, that would be very appropriate because do not get dissuaded by results that don't come. Keep going. The third stage, which is the third verse we saw, where one gets prepared for surrendering to God, ascetic life, meaning you take to austerities, reduce your desire and more towards devotion to God. Yat karoshi yatashnasi yajjuhoshi tadasi yat tapasya sikaunteya tat kurushva madharpanam. The culmination of this is total dedication to God, the whole life. So that is where an individual recognizes, I am not doing anything. Through me, the Lord is doing. In the stage one, you are doing yourself. That's why I say, Uddare Atman Atman, do it yourself. DIY. Right? Nobody's ever said, DIY, do it yourself. Next stage is where I do it all right, but for God. I'm not going to be driven by the result. Third one is do everything only for God. Second stage is I do, but offer results to God. The third stage is I even action itself is offered to God, not only result. In the first stage, I am doing, and whatever results that comes to me, I have to make sure that I'm going to discourage. Second stage is where you do action but give results to God. Third stage is even action is given to God. Yat karoshi, yatasnasi, yatajyoshi. The fourth stage is to know that I'm not doing it. It is being done. So we'll see that now. Patram puspam ananyaschintayanto mam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Ananyaschintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate tesam nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Very famous words. Aham yogah cha kshemascha vahami. Lord Krishna here says, I will take care of what you need and protect what you have. The word yoga means getting what you are trying to get, what is needed for yourself. We only, everyday life also, what we do, two things only. To get what we don't have and protect what we already have. Right? What we don't have may be money. What we have is health. Then what happens is in the process of trying to get more money, we lose health. And then make that money to get health again. Our very peculiar way of doing things. Lose health to get money. Spend money to get health. So yoga is to get what you don't have. Shema is to protect what you already have. Lord Krishna said, I'll take care of it. When you are able to remember that I am the doer. Now, let me see whether you understand this. There is one plate of food in front of me, and I'm taking the food to eat. Now, what helps me to eat the food? Come on. Hunger? There you have, anyway. What helps me to eat, take the food? And what helps me to eat the food? Mouth. What helps me to digest the food? Stomach. But before that, what helps me to eat the food is somebody cooking.
Yes.
Correct. Without somebody putting the food on my plate, I will not have food. Yeah, I'm talking about my case, about your case different. You cook yourself. So when I get the food made by somebody on my plate, I extra pray. Because I don't know what I'm getting into. If I know the person, the prayer is one level. If I don't know the person, it's a double level. Now, so even that I have not done. What I have not done, I didn't cook the food. So who does that? Somebody. I know, I may not know. Even the food is coming from someone, and that someone also getting the vegetables or whatever I needed, from whom? They don't know. Correct or not?
Yes.
From the marketplace or wherever. And in the shop also, that whatever vegetable, that also coming from somewhere. Now, therefore, from where are we getting the food? Who is making that possible? Don't claim yourself. As much as the hand cannot claim it is responsible for the food. No. It is only doing one job of taking the food from the plate to my mouth. That's all it does. It is not created the food. In fact, it is not even eating the food. I always ask this riddle to the children, you know. What is that which the one who produces does not use it, one who buys does not use it, and the one who uses does not know he's using it? What is it? One who manufactures does not know. One who buys does not use it. One who manufactures doesn't use it. One who buys does not use it. One who uses does not know that he's using it. Coffin. Right? Yes or no? Anyway, that's a joke apart. Now the hand is not eating. Hand is doing a job of bringing the food from the plate to my mouth. Is the tongue actually eating? No, it is only again moving it to. It experiences some amount of taste, all right. After that, it moves on to the stomach. Even the stomach actually doesn't do this. He does the process of things. Who is actually eating? You see, who is the owner here? Who is the karta? The food that is produced in the farm field You may say the farmer is creating the food. No. Without the field, he cannot do that. Without that, Kshetram or what you call the farm field. So farm field created by who? See, if you look at it, actually, everybody is only agents. Kapta is only one. And he does it through everyone. For you and I to survive, to you and I to eat and sustain, there is one single principle who is working through everyone, making sure that everyone exists. So we must be aware of that all the time. That is why Bhagavan says, Ananyaschintayantama. Ananya means think of nothing else. Ananya. Some people keep the name, no? Ananya. So one lady came to me and said, I want to give a nice name starting with A to my granddaughter. Ananya. Came back. After some time, I asked, what is the name you? Nanya. That has no meaning. No, that sounds good, you know. It's meaningless names. Nanya. What does it mean? It sounds good. Anyway. So Ananya means Nanya. Not thinking of anything else. Why? This mind is now focused upon how grateful is that one single presence who is making sure that everyone is provided for, including everyday action of mine. Everything that I do. Earlier what he said, you do but surrender the action to me. Now he knows, the person who has matured, he knows I'm not actually doing. It's happening through me. That's why the other day he said, that one who knows that, he will say, Naiva kinchit karomi. I'm not doing anything. While walking and talking and eating and smelling and seeing and hearing and tasting and smelling. Pashyan, Srunman, Sprishan, Jikran, Ashnan, Gachan, Shopan, Shwasan, Splavan, Vishwan, Nmishan, Nimishan. Indriyani, Indriyatheshu, Vartanta, Ididharayan. I know that I'm not doing. But this requires a high amount of not only the observation, understanding, maturity, and subtle way of recognizing the presence. Are you all breathing?
Yes.
Are you doing it? It's happening. So, Swamiji, it is very difficult to grow up the children. Are you? Going there every day, pull their head and then the children are growing. I'm growing up the children. What are you doing? Or even if you put a plant outside in your eye and under eye. So they have chairs on chairs. No? So now, when you say that I put the plant seed out in my backyard and I'm growing my trees, growing, my, what are you doing? Growing. You're only protecting. You're only making sure that they are provided for. But growing is not you do. Are you growing your hair? Pulling every day? See, if you look at it, all these are all happening. The human arrogance is thinking that I am doing it. So if you pay attention, you will realize everything is happening. And make sure that you don't disturb that. And even when you are sleeping, you are breathing. And even when you are sleeping, you are growing old. In fact, you're growing old faster when you're sleeping. So obviously, I won't sleep there. So Ananya Chintana means do not deviate from this attention that everything is happening in and through everyone and nobody can really take credit of it. Ananyas chintayantaha mam means the Lord. Me, whoever he be, I am. Yahan pe, You have to come to the first row. Not that I will eat anybody. Ananyas chintayantaha mam, those who are thinking of me continuously without anything else. See, it is not really possible to not think of anything else, don't think about God. Really, it is difficult. But when you have that awareness in the background there, then you are tuned to that. It is like a musician, a singer, at least in the Carnatic and in our traditional singing, there is a person who is playing the Shruti in the background. Some people use the harmonium for that. Some people put the Shruti or somebody plays the singer should tune himself to attune herself to that basic sound. And all the singing that he or she does is tuned to that. And typically in a traditional music, they all, first of all, even before everybody comes, they will start sitting there, start tuning themselves. All the instruments are to tune to the same note, same, what do you call it, same basic thing. Otherwise, when they all synchronize, it's called symphony. They don't do it, it's called cacophony. So when my mind is tuned to that it is because of that everything is happening. My breathing is happening, my thinking is happening, my walking and the talking and the thinking. Every moment, that is called Ananya Chintana. If I ask, are you human? You have to think. Are you a human being? Wait. You have to switch soch now. You have to think. Do you remember all the time? I'm a human. Huh? Of course, if you are surrounded by monkeys, you have to remember that. If you are in a lonely island where all others are non-human, then you have to remember, I am human, not this. But I am a human being is not something I have to consciously keep thinking about it. I naturally, spontaneously know this should be the way one should think, that I am the presence of God. In me, the presence of God is continuous. When I was talking to the student also today, and that boy got up, is it not too much of thinking about awareness now? I said, you don't need to think that you are awareness. You are aware. You don't need to think that. But we forget. That's the problem. We get carried away by the mind. And therefore, a mind with so many thoughts and emotions and other things, we forget that essentially we are Sat Chit Ananda. So, Ananya Chintana means constant awareness of the fact that I am. I am, in that I am is the presence of God. As Christ would say, I am that I am. When he said that, they stoned him. Because he's telling the truth, but nobody could understand that. So this Ananya Chintanam, Ananyaha Chintayantaha Maam Ye Janaha, those people. And therefore, that very Chintanam itself is Upasana. See, the thing is, when we say upasana, what we usually mean is sit near God. Not upvas. Huh? Upvas is not eating and eating, you know. Yeah. Sabudana kichadi. That's not what I mean. Not eating normal food, but the maximum calorie, maximum starch food that day you eat. Sabudana. Not that. Upasana or upavas means, upa means near, vasa means to stay. To stay near God. So this upa, sarve pari upasate, he has written that point. Pari upasate means always, at all times, he's near me. How do you, how are you near? Are you near your awareness that you are human or not? Meaning, it is not something you forget. You forgot you are a human. Of course, we forget and then we'll act like animals sometimes. That in that way of awareness of me as human, so should be the awareness that I am awareness. Karta koi aur hai. Somebody else is doing through me. Ananyaschintayanto maam ye jana pariupasate. That is true bhakti. Huh? Bhakti is not what you do, but what you are. Meaning, how you are thinking of the presence of God. You cannot say, when I go to temple, I get bhakti. And when I outside the temple, kuch nahi. That's not correct. When you are in the church or a temple, then you get devotion. Otherwise, not. It is like husband remembers that his husband only when he's at home. Then you feel very mad at him. When are you husband? Whenever I come home only. That's why she often calls. Are you there? What are you doing? Reminding you. Basic line is, you are my husband. Remember that all the time. And when you're traveling somewhere, are you missing me? Yeah, sort of. The Bhagavan also asks, very good, are you missing me? Do you want to remember me? No, you should never forget. If you know that it is Lord's presence is what making you able to do everything, there's no question of forgetting it. So, ananyas chintayanto maam ye jana pariupasate. Those people who are constantly worshipping me, by the continuous remembrance of me, nothing else other than that. Tesham, to those people, satata yuktanam, always connected to me, yogahascha shemam cha hamvaha. I will take care of what they need and I protect what they have. It is like the parents always give what the children needs and protect them from all other, external influences, right? Until they become mature enough to handle themselves. In fact, they don't give what they need, whatever they desire, even before they ask, and that is how we spoil them completely and then send them to USC. It's called University of Spoiled Children. So we protect the children because we love. We take care of their needs because we love. In the same way, Bhagavan says, I love you so much, I will take care of what you need and what you have. It is my responsibility thereafter. Because it is said that a person who has dedicated his mind to the Lord, then the Lord takes over. Thereafter, that person need not have to think about anything else. So, in our case, what happens? We think of many things that we need to get and protect. Plus, once in a while, when time permits, think about God. So, when you go to Bhagavan's altar, Lord's altar, and say, Bhagavan, give me this, 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 and I will think about it. Bhagavan says, if you think about me, you don't need to think about these things. See, because you are thinking about me, then it is my responsibility to make sure that whatever you are not thinking, I take care. As I said in the first day itself, when you get into your flight, you don't think about whether you will reach there or not to the destination. Do you? You put the flight map and then see, where am I? Where am I going? You know that pilot knows where exactly he has to take the flight to. You don't become anxious about it. No, he has to take a left. No, why are you taking a right? You don't bother about that because he knows what he's doing. Once you have got into the flight, you don't care about how the flight is, which is a flight path. You don't care about that. In the same way, when a person has dedicated completely into the remembrance of the Lord, who will take care of my needs and protect me? Leaves all concern. That is why he said it's a fourth matured state. In the first stage, it is your effort. That is what? Uddared Atmana Atmanam. Second stage is where you take care of your work and give the result to God. Karmanyevadhikaraste Mahapalesh. Third stage is even the action you give it to Him. Yad karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhoshi dadasi tat kurushva madharpana. The fourth stage is I am not doing. He is doing it. The fourth stage is where you are not even a karta. You are not the doer. So that requires a high amount of complete trust in God. And not many people can take it also. If you somebody is saying that I have so much problems, you what to do? Bhagavan tikarega. Kaya oka tikarega. See, we don't have that. He said, okay, you do it yourself. Whenever you don't trust him, he will say, okay, do it. I mean, if you think you can do it then. Right? If somebody comes and says that when a doctor comes, gives a medicine, and then take this, will it work? Yes. True. If you can improve yourself without taking medicine, do it yourself then. You came to me to ask for curing, and if I give you medicine, you don't believe in me, then do it yourself. In any such relationship, you must have some amount of trust, right? When I can't do the thing, I give it to someone to do it, and I should trust that person to do it. In the same way, when I know that everything that is happening in my life is already being taken care by the Lord, that maturity when it comes, then and then alone, the next stage of leaving aside, everything will take place. That's why Bhagavan says in the next verse, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja Aham tva sarva papebhyaha mokshayishyami maashuchah sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja Aham tva sarva papebhyaha don't worry. Last word is what? Krishna says, don't worry. Because we cannot stop worrying because we love worrying. If somebody says, I have no worries, I'm worried, Swamiji. My son says he has no worries at all. I'm worried about that. We want people to worry. Then only they think they are alive. Nowadays they don't say we are worried. Concerned. Same only. There is no difference between concerned and worry, but they would put a new word. What Krishna says, don't worry. Maasucha. Aham sarva papebhyah mokshayishyami. I release you from all sins. See, it's similar to Christianity where the sins are taken care by the Lord. Is that what he says? Your sins are taken care. Lord is suffering for your sins. Here, Bhagavan is not saying, I'm suffering. I will take care of your sins. Papebhyaha mokshayishyam. From all the sins, I will release you. What is this papa? What is this papa? Papa means sin. Are we committing sin consciously? In fact, every action will have a result. There is no action that will have no result, really speaking. Now, you see, every action when it comes as a result, we have to experience it. If you do an action and the result of your action is what I have to experience, then you won't do that action. Whatever be the action I do, the result will not go to somebody else. It has to come to me only. Whether you do good or bad, whether today or yesterday or last birth. So any action that is done by me, either in the immediate past or the distant past, I will have to come to experience it either today or in the future. And the logic goes like this. If results come without action, actions become useless. And if there is no result for an action, action becomes useless. The logic is that there must be a result for everything that you do now, and the result that you are getting today must have come from some action. In other words, there is no end. So long as we engage, there is no end of rebirth. In other words, we have to come back again and again and again and again. Why? Because you have done enough, and to experience, you have to come enough times, many, many times. Here, what is then moksha means? End of coming back. Because once you come again, there is no guarantee that you will be a good person. Right? Today, somehow or the other, I became a good person. Tomorrow, I don't know. Circumstances will change. Somehow, you became a human now in this birth. Next birth, you may be a crocodile. You may be a frog. And you will not be able to sit on satsang. Anyway, sarva pape bhyah includes sarva punye bhyah also. Because every papa and punya, you will have to experience. So moksha ishyami means what? I'll release you from coming back. Namichi, actually I want to come back. Because my mother-in-law tortured me such a way. When she becomes the next birth, I will go as her mother-in-law. Torture her. So we always have a feeling that I have to come back and do something else. How many of you say enough is enough? He's hesitating.
No one else was raising.
No one is raising, therefore I won't raise the hand. Have you come to a point where I'm done?
Yes.
Enough is enough. How many of you say? He said to both hands. See, some of them are still hesitating. That means you want to come back? And somebody says, actually, there's no coming back now. This is the end of it. That is also another theory. Okay, how many of you want no tomorrow? Are we are preparing for that program on Saturday. What are you saying? After Saturday, no end. Okay, after Saturday. Okay. Up to Sunday. After Sunday, Sunday. How many of you raise your hand? Let us see. After Sunday, there is no world. Ready?
Yes.
See, we hesitate because we have plans for it. Next, I'm going for a cruise. After the cruise, I'm going to India. There's a marriage coming up. I already bought the dress for me. I bought my cruise ticket also. See, we have no ability, no guarantee or no firmness to say no more. Do you? Only when you reach that stage where it's no more, you really become free of worries. If you want to be listening to the Lord, say Mahasutra. What does it mean? Moksha Ishyami, meaning Krishna, without any hesitation, I'll release you today. Are you ready? No tomorrow, not next moment. Ready? That's terrible. See, I was giving a lecture in one place. I was talking about moksha and all. And they came out after the lecture. One person came to me and said, Swamiji, yes. Aap mujhe मोक्ष दे दो, बस हो गया, मोक्ष दे दो। मैं चलो ओके, व्हाट इज मोक्ष? कुछ भी है दे दो। व्हाट इज लिबरेशन? व्हाट आर यू
अच्छा
ये देने के वो क्या पदार्थ है, चीज है? तो व्हेन भगवान सेज आई विल गिव यू राइट नाउ, हाउ मेनी ऑफ अस आर रेडी? वी हैव प्लान्स राइट, एंड सो लॉन्ग एज यू हैव टुमारो एंड थिंकिंग अबाउट टुमारो, देयर इज नो एंड टू सॉरी। मैंने से मार सोचा, व्हाट डज इट मीन? डोंट वरी, व्हाई? एंड व्हाट दैट मीन्स इज नो मोर परफॉर्मेंस ऑफ एनीथिंग। सर्वधर्मान, व्हाट एवर यू हैव बीन डूइंग नाउ, हाँ, एंड इट। यू आर नो मोर, प्लीज अंडरस्टैंड मी द करेक्ट कॉन्टेक्स्ट। आई हैव कम अप टू 1, 2, 3, 4, एंड द फिफ्थ वन वी आर टॉकिंग अबाउट, वेयर The previous one, he said, I'm not doing anything. He's doing. When he's doing, who am I? Why should I even think about doing anything further? Huh? What is my dharma now? Householder, student, grihastha, sannyasin. I am nobody. So the last stage is where I am. Nothing to do. Even that doing, let it be. That is when you reach that point. Sarvadharman parityajya. Leaving aside all that is concerning your individuality. I, as an individual, even though I am the very instrument in the hand of God, even that thought that I am still an instrument in the form of, in the hands of God also, drop. As much as you do every day in another 2 hours or 3 hours, all dharmas will end, all karmas will end, right? Everything comes to a standstill. You up. That state of deep sleep. Right? Where you don't have any more dharma to go. You're not a husband, you're not a wife, you are not a son or a daughter, or whatever you are, you've given up. Chidananda Rupa Shivoham. Name Buddhi Ahankara Chittani Naam. Mana Buddhi Ahankara Chitta. None of this. Pita Nasti, Mata Nasti. All that you give up. So at the stage where one is ready for moksha, Bhagavan says, I will give you. When? There is no tomorrow. Sarva dharman parityajya. Then where am I? Ekam sharanam mam. You alone exist. I don't exist. Sharanam here means not as an individual surrendering to God. I as the individuality is no more. It is like you are looking at a mirror and looking at the reflection in the mirror. When the mirror is removed, who are you? I am. The mirror is only a reflection of you. In the same way, me, the ego, the individuality is only a reflected presence. When that mirror is removed as the notion of I, what remains is I am finished. So that stage where I have no plans for tomorrow, no anxiety about tomorrow, that will happen only when I'm done. That's what is said. Sarvadharma parityajya. Mam is ekam. See, if there are two, me and you, then it is two, right? He says ekam. The translation says me alone. Surrender to me alone, right? The me is only alone. He's only there. The other one is not there. As much as I gave the example, when you are going to sleep, you are wanting to sleep. But when you are asleep, where is the want? Who is wanting? That wanting individual is gone. Swamiji, I am already there. I just had my dinner, every dinner. So the ekameva, there is no other to even know that there is something to surrender to. The saranam, we are to understand that total elimination of the individuality who thinks oneself independent of that reality. That reality alone is, I don't exist. Then alone, you become free of all the results of the past. Aham tva sarva papebhyah mokshayishyam. I will release you from all the impurities and the sins. Because you as the individual is not there to experience anything. Gurudev used to give this example when, you know, when he was there in Siddhabari, in his kutir. How many of you have been to Siddhabari? You know. So his Himalayan, that ashram monastery, he was there taking rest inside. And a lot of devotees were standing outside, waiting for him to come out. And then usually in the evening, he will come and then have the tea and then chat with people. Now they sit relaxedly. So everybody's waiting outside around 3:30 in the afternoon. Very beautiful weather and everybody's standing outside. Suddenly, there was a police van come. Stop. Police. Himalayan state police. Everybody. Oh, why? These people have come. So one inspector, no, or police official came out. And he walked straight. And, is Swami Chinmayananda here? They said, yeah, he's taking a rest inside. All right, can I go in? No, he'll come out in a few minutes. Just wait. I cannot wait. I have to go and what? Arrest him. Arrest him? They were all totally scandalized. Arrest him for what? He as BBK Menon committed a lot of crimes. His original name was Puttamballi Balakrishna Menon. He has committed many things and it was coming to come, it has come to our notice, and he has escaped from the hands of the law for a long time, almost 40 years. Now is a time for him to serve. So we have to arrest him. So then people were very unhappy and very, you know, disturbed. Then that police officer went inside. You know, they're all very, very anxious what's going to happen now. After some time, the officer came out. Took that paper, arrest paper, or warranty. I don't know what it's called. Warrant. Arrest warrant. Wore it to pieces. Everybody said, what happened? No, no, I cannot arrest him. Why? Because he's no more. Can you arrest a dead person? What do you do with the dead body? Arrest him and do what? Who is getting arrested? If at all arrested? A person who is alive. One who is alive only, you can punish him. If he's dead, you cannot punish him. In the same way, when the individuality is dead, no results of the past ones, good or bad. So, where ekam is reached, where I don't exist anymore, I as the individual ego is no more, there is only he, what happens to the papa or punya, the sin or the merits of the past? What happens? Everything ends. That is actually called moksha. Moksha is where you are done, you don't exist. You as an individual don't exist. And you are not there even to claim that you are free. You don't even have the individuality to say, I'm liberated. If somebody says, I'm liberated, stay far away from that person. Because if he or she says, I am liberated, that shows he's not liberated. It is as good as if a person you ask sleeping, are you sleeping? Yes. Then you are not sleeping. Can a sleeping person say that he's sleeping? Similarly, a liberated person cannot say that he's liberated. That doesn't mean he's not liberated. So this is a very peculiar thing. It's a catch-22 situation. A liberated person will not say he's liberated. If he's liberated, he will not be there to say that. If he says, he's not. Therefore, he says, Sarva papepiha mokshayishyami master. Don't worry. Reach that surrender. Make yourself merge into that one where you don't exist anymore. That is really the state of oneness. So towards that lakshya should be our movement to reach that point of no return. So starting from the first verse onwards, where we start to uplift our mind with the help of the buddhi, with the wisdom, with the knowledge, such that we don't anymore get depressed and dissuaded by our own mind. From that journey onward, next one is to do our work efficiently, but not get anxious about the result, and at the same time not stop working. The third step is knowing that all actions that I do are offered to God alone and nobody else, because all of them are to purify my mind and get ready for this. The fourth stage is where I know that he's doing it, not me. Whatever is happening, I understand it is because of the presence of the Lord as awareness in me is what is making me able to do everything. That continuous, undeviated attention upon the awareness is called Ananya Chintanam. And that is true worship of the Lord. The next stage is, I don't exist. He alone exists. The illusory presence of me is what suffers rebirth and experiences of good and bad, right and wrong. And that state where I don't exist is the state of complete release, liberation. And there is no more I to claim that I am liberated. And because it is a so intimate, subtle, deep experience, there is no possibility of somebody else to know it. Anybody externally would not know it. It is like once Gurudev, when in the beginning stages, when he was giving lectures in the public, many of the priests and pandits, well, they didn't like him. That he's talking about it to common man who won't. They thought that only qualified people should listen to this and unqualified people should not be given this knowledge. It's waste and it is not also correct. So what they did was they took Gurudev to Shankaracharya of Kanchi. He was very well known, ancient, very well known, very advanced sadhu. So he was living outskirts of Chennai or Madras in Kanchi. Kanchi is the place where he was living. So they took him there and then he went in a car. This was, I'm talking about in the 60s. And then they went inside. Know that Swami Chinmayananda was not a Brahmin, Kshatriya by birth. So there is a protocol who can go and meet him. So the Shankaracharya also. So these, all the Brahmin pandits, they left Gurudev in the car and then went inside and then saluted to him and saying that there is one new sadhu has come, new saint. He's claiming himself to be saint. He came and he is now giving lectures in English on Gita and Upanishad, etc. We want to know whether it is appropriate for him to do that. If it is not, please tell him so that he will stop. It's not in our tradition to talk about this in the public. And he's taking Bhagavad Gita and going around all over the place, which is not good. The Gita should be in a sacred place. He should not be doing it in the marketplace like that. Please tell him. So the Shankaracharya, very advanced soul, very saintly, he bring him. Okay. So they came out. And Swami Chinmayananda was sitting in the car. Then now he said, he's now ready to meet you. Okay. He went. These people were very anxious outside. Now what's going to happen? What do you think happened? So he went inside within a few minutes, maybe 5 minutes, he came out. Yeah, he was calm and quiet. He came out. So then they were all looking at it. I'm sure he had advised him to stop. And because he requested so much. They looked at him, no clue. From his face, nothing could they could understand. What transpired between them? So, since they could not get any conclusive answer from Gurudev, they dare not ask, right? What did he say? So, they slowly went to Shankaracharya. So, it's really happened. Not like the previous one where he's dead and all. That was a story. So, here, they went to him, Shankaracharya. And so, he looked at all of them and said, did you tell him anything? No. So what happened? He came, sat down. I also sat down, looked at him. He smiled and he went. He is more Brahmin than you people. He has a greater authority to speak on Gita and Upanishad than any one of you. He realized that you people are already talking. And when he has realized, he won't talk. I mean, we don't talk. I know who he is and he knows who I am. That's it. There's no exchange of words here. So that was the greatness of Gurudev. Dev came back, chup chop, went back. So a Mahatma, when he is taken up the sankalpa to do and to give this knowledge to large number of people, he stands from that understanding, that wisdom, that greatness. Even though he has no need to do that, right? He could have easily stayed in stairs, in Himalayas and enjoyed it. But he came in spite of the fact that he has to travel, he has to go to people and talk and then exert himself. Why? Because that knowledge is great. And the greatness of the knowledge should be given to maximum people. Right? So, two Mahatmas, when they meet, they don't talk. They smile at each other and go, because you know I am, I know who you are. So, the 75th year of such a great vision of Gurudev is what we celebrate this Saturday. So you are all welcome to join in, and I conclude. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Kaschid Dukkha Vartavet, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah, Hari Om. Thank you all for attending these 4 days, four evening satsangs. I hope and I believe that you understood these verses, and that will help you to practice and pass on the knowledge, not only to your neighbors and friends and family members, but to the next generation. Because they should not lose focus on the highest goal of life. As I said today, when I was talking to the students, they are the young students. But they should not have the misunderstanding about Hinduism. And therefore, I went to the core of it and then told them this is what it is. So the external rituals and religious things apart, they should understand the very principle by which it is built. Everything is built from the foundation. Understand the foundation. Then you can build up. If the building may be good, but if there is no foundation, it will not stay long. But if it has stayed for thousands and thousands of years, That means the foundation is very strong. That foundation we should understand. Thank you all.